الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings and has placed those human beings in between two spectrums, in between two extremes. Those two extremes are good and evil. And human beings, they oscillate between good and evil. This is the nature of the way by which we have been created. At the top of the spectrum is good, is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and performance of acts that are in continuous worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that spectrum, there's one creation that exists at that spectrum, that's constantly at that spectrum, and that is the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels such that they are constantly in a state of obedience to Allah and they are constantly doing good. In fact, they have no ability to do other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed them for. So that's one extreme, and that's the upper extreme of this graph. You know, if you think about these, there's kind of two boundaries, and then you have human beings, they oscillate in between these two boundaries. But this upper limit is defined by the angels. And there's a lower limit to this graph, to this wave, you can say. And the lower limit is evil. And the absolute limit of evil is defined by shaitan. Shaitan is constantly in a state of evil and is not oscillating towards anything good. So you have this one level which is defined by the angels, which is just complete obedience. And then you have this one level underneath here, which is defined by the which is exemplified by shaitan and his constant disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens is human beings, they oscillate in between. That's the most human beings. I mean, you know, just to give you a spectrum of human beings, some human beings become so wicked that they essentially end up at the level of shaitan. Some human beings become so wicked that they end up at the level of shaitan. And the Quran is given those examples like Fir'aun and these types of people who disobey their Lord and they are zalim on the earth, they're oppressors on the earth. So these are the types of individuals that end up way down here at the lowest level of creation. And then there are some human beings that are essentially angelic. And of course, you know, I mean, the greatest example of the human beings that are present at that level would be the prophets. In fact, it's our aqidah, it's our belief, that the prophets were created in a certain state which is called ma'sum, meaning the prophets are ma'sum. Ma'sum means that the prophets are constantly in a state of obedience and don't have the ability to disobey their Lord. So prophets are all the way up at the upper echelon of creation, and they don't oscillate. So you have this one extreme here and one extreme here, and then you have two examples, and the angels almost highlight this, shaitan highlights this, and then among human beings, you've heard those examples. But most human beings, what happens with most human beings is that they oscillate up and down. So what does that mean? That means that we do some good, and then we make mistakes. And then we do some good, and then we make mistakes, and we do some good, and we make mistakes. And that's the nature of the vast majority of creation. What's interesting, actually, is that some human beings, if you want to just, you know, complete the chart, Some human beings actually have been created that are for the most part in a state of obedience, and were they to dip into disobedience, or were they to dip into making a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the tawfiq to immediately rectify that. To immediately rectify that. And that group of individuals is the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. Those individuals in the terminology of deen are called mahfuz. Mahfuz means that they are preserved, meaning that generally speaking, they're in a state of obedience. However, were a mistake to occur, they quickly rectify that mistake and return to a state of obedience. And so Sahaba were, as a group, are classified as mahfuz. Mahfuz again means preserved. So that's another example. But aside from these few examples which I've given, which, you know, these are the exceptions, these aren't the rule, the vast majority of human beings who have walked on this planet are all oscillating up and down between good and evil. Now, what's the ultimate job of each human being? It's to do as much good as possible, to stay on the side of good as much as possible, to avoid evil to the best of their ability, to avoid disobedience and oppression and, you know, wrongdoing to the best of their ability. And were they to dip into that state, to quickly make tawbah and to come back out of that state. So very simplistically, that's the goal of every person in this room, because we are all examples of average human beings. So this is our general responsibility. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, although the graph is very simple, you know, I mean, you're oscillating between good and mistakes and good and mistakes and good and mistakes, it's Allah's infinite mercy that He makes the paradigm shift in our favor. He allows the paradigm to shift in our favor. For example, I don't have a pencil or a pen, but anyway. So, I mean, look, let's just say that there's a person, they're oscillating like this. Now, this is baseline here. This mic level is baseline. And they're oscillating up and down through good and bad and through good and bad. So, one benefit that exists in our deen is that the oscillation in the positive direction is amplified, whereas the oscillation in the negative direction is muted. Sorry, it's a little physics, but the oscillation in the positive direction is amplified, but the oscillation in the negative direction is muted. Okay, I'll give you an example. So, when a person makes an intention to do a good deed, they get the reward of the good deed, right? Just by the mere thought. Okay, somebody comes into the masjid and says, you know, we need to expand the masjid. We need to add another floor to this masjid. And a person in their heart says, I wish I could do it. If I had the wealth, I wish I could do it. The mere intention provides a reward, right? And if the person actually acts on that intention, then they receive multiple times the reward. They receive multiple times the reward. So what's happening? In the direction of good, right? In this positive direction, everything is amplified. A mere thought allows you to come to create amplitude here. And a acting upon that thought with the ability to do so allows you to amplify it even more. And the encouraging of people to do deeds allows you to retain your reward and also gain their reward. So now you can amplify it even more. For example, somebody comes into the masjid and makes an announcement and says, you know, we need to expand this masjid. We need to improve the washrooms in the masjid. The person makes an intention in his heart, if I could, I would just do the whole washroom myself. That's such an important need in this masjid. So now what happens? Right away, the reward arises. Okay, now the person basically then actually acquires the wealth and donates the wealth. They get multiple times the reward. There's a little bit of a shortfall. They encourage 10 friends to donate. They receive the rewards that the 10 friends also because of their donation. And then on top of that, every person who uses that and benefits from that, they receive a piece of that reward. Now people go in there, they make wudu, they pray. Pieces of this reward are constantly given to that individual. It becomes a sadaqah for that person in this life and the next, and for continuous until the end of time or until this bathroom is used. So what happens? The mere simple act of just, you know, making an intention amplifies, and then acting on it amplifies, and then encouraging amplifies, and then the other people who are using it until the day of judgment causes amplification. So in this direction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy. Just small things create huge amplitude in the positive direction. And the whole deen is designed that way. And then on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates windows of opportunity that further amplify the deeds. For example, person is doing good, doing good, doing good, and then all of a sudden Ramadan comes upon them. They didn't have to go find it. Ramadan comes to them. After Ramadan comes to them, major amplification in whatever is being done. All right, Friday comes upon them. Friday is an amplifier, right? Eid comes upon them, or Hajj comes upon them, the 10 days of the Hijjah come upon them, that's an amplifier. So the masjid is present in their location, that's an amplifier. Over and over again, in this paradigm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala essentially creates opportunities for people to become as angelic as possible. Right? Because this line, this upper border of this graph that I keep drawing, this upper border is defined by angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates opportunities for people to become as angelic as possible. Right? As angelic as they can make the effort towards. So that's the way that Allah deals with the upper portion of the graph, which is the goal for every individual. Everything is amplified on that side. Now you take the opposite. So the opposite was that this is baseline. There is baseline here. Underneath that baseline is disobedience, is oppression, is wrongdoing. And this, the lowest level of this is defined by shaitan. Shaitan is constantly in a state of oppressing and disobedience and maligning human beings, etc. Now what happens is human beings, they make mistakes. Human beings, they make mistakes. But Allah mutes the mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is that he mutes the mistakes. For example, person makes an intention to do something wrong, and then they don't act on it. So do they receive any bad deed? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them for the mistake of having made that intention. Now, when they made the intention to do something good, they received the full reward. But when they make the intention to do something bad and don't act on it, they do not receive any sin for that. Now, a person goes and performs a sin. So when the person performs a sin, it counts as one sin. The individual who performed the good deed has a multiplier attached to their good deed, whether that be 10 or 27 or 700 or whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for that particular deed. So when human beings do good, Allah amplified the deed. When human beings do bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mutes the effect of that on the individual. That's the mercy of Allah. So person makes an intention to do bad, no sin is written. Person actually acts upon that, and then what happens? One sin is written. Okay, now what happens? This is the baseline. And human beings are living their life like this. They're oscillating, you know, they're doing good, and then they do a little bad. And then they do good, and then they do a little muted bad. And then they do good, and they do a little muted bad. And these are the people who are making effort to avoid evil, right? So obviously, you know, you have to have some baseline decency in a human being. Beyond that, then what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the negative being muted, right? So despite this lower portion of the graph being muted, beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often creates opportunities to completely erase the negative in a person's life. For example, I mean, we've talked about this several times. Person goes and prays salah, goes and makes wudu. So when a person makes wudu, the sins from their hands are washed away, their eyes are washed away, their face is washed away, their limbs is washed away. So what's happening? The negative, albeit muted, even despite the fact that it's muted, is completely washed away. Okay, now what happens? An individual makes an intention to pray in Jama'ah. So when they pray one prayer in Jama'ah, then they pray the next prayer in Jama'ah, then what's in between gets wiped away. So again, erased. Okay, then a person sits down And they say, you know, I performed that sin yesterday. I made a big mistake, astaghfirullah. And they seek tawbah from Allah, then that completely erases that. The sin gets completely erased from their book of deeds. Person prays Jummah, and then prays the next Jummah, everything in between gets wiped away. A person goes for Umrah, a person fasts in Ramadan, and then fasts another Ramadan, everything in between gets wiped away. A person goes for Hajj, the days of Hajj are coming. Person goes for Hajj, everything in the book prior to that gets wiped away. Of course, the minor sins, the major sins, they have a tawbah is required, which isn't that hard at Hajj. And of course, if it involved wrongdoing to another person, then a person must rectify that. But also, hopefully, when a person goes for Hajj, they would have the tawfiq to be able to rectify that. So basically, what's happening is, despite the fact that there is these boundaries in which human beings exist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established the paradigm in the favor of the human being. In the most extreme way. Because everything good is maintained, everything bad is muted, and easily erased. Now, it could have been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have been written, you know, this way, that if you want to erase Monday, then everything from Monday gets erased. Right? It could have been that, okay, I made 10 mistakes on Monday, so now I'm going to make tawbah, and Allah starts my slate clean. But that doesn't work that way. When a person makes tawbah, all the negative gets erased, the positive remains. If a person, you know, makes wudu, the negative gets erased, the positive remains. When the person prays Jummah, the negative gets erased, the positive remains, etc., etc. So, in this paradigm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established it in our favor. Now, why is this important? Because what happens is, as a person oscillates, what's really happening in that oscillation is that they're oscillating between Jannah and Jahannam. See, in this life, you call it good and you call it bad. And that's fair. But the consequence of that good and bad is what's important, because that's what's permanent, that's what matters the most. So eventually what happens is this graph of performance, right? I mean, if you're looking at the oscillation of some sort of, I don't know, component in a factory, you look at the performance of that. So this performance of the human being eventually is what's going to result in Jannah and Jahannam. You know, for example, you look at an EKG. Everybody's seen a picture of an EKG. You can see all the waves. And then based on the waves, you can see the performance of the organ. You can see the performance of the heart, whether it's actually acting the way it's supposed to act. So in the case of the human being, there's these oscillations, and those oscillations eventually result in the end point, which is Jannah or Jahannam. So otherwise stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amplifies the ability to get to Jannah, but mutes the ability to go to Jahannam. Meaning, Allah creates excuses for the human being to go to Jannah, and Allah creates excuses to avoid the human being to go to Jahannam. That's the summary of deen. You know, the way you want to think about it, you have to jump really high to get something. Okay? So what does Allah do? Allah reduces gravity. So imagine if I say to you, if you slam dunk, okay, if you jump, I say to you, if you jump higher than this, you go to Jannah. Okay, now you try to jump, you can't jump higher. Your feet can't jump higher than this. Your feet have to pass this line. You can't do that. Now I put you on the moon. I say, if you jump higher than this, you go to Jannah. What? I mean, it's a joke. You just jump and you're flying. There's, you know, the gravitational force is totally different. So if this is baseline, the gravitational force towards Jannah is minimal. You jump and you make a small jump, you go very high. And then the force pulling you down is muted. The force pulling us down is muted. And this entire paradigm has been established because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that He wants us to go to Jannah. Now, why does He want us to go to Jannah? I mean, obviously, there's whatever reasons Allah has, but one of the important aspects of that is that because Jannah doesn't cost Allah anything. Meaning, look, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to put the whole of creation into Jannah, and the whole of creation to receive infinite reward in Jannah, It cost zero from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It won't cost Allah a cent. It does not decrease Allah's treasure in any way. For Allah to reward all of creation does not decrease His treasure in any way. So what does that mean for us? It means that we should always take advantage of Allah's mercy, and we should always have hope that our good will outweigh our evil. Now, the way Shaitan works, Shaitan knows this better than us. Shaitan recognizes this paradigm better than us. And the way that Shaitan works, he creates in the mind of the believer an inability to see Allah's mercy. Listen very carefully. He creates in the mind of the believer the inability to see Allah's mercy. He blinds the believer to Allah's mercy. So what happens? The person does good and they think of their good as minimal. And a person does evil or mistakes or wrongdoing and they get bogged down in their mistakes and get depressed. But the believer is actually opposite. The reality is opposite. The reality is that any time a person makes a mistake, no matter what that mistake, it can always be rectified. And not only can it be rectified, Allah wants it to be rectified. It doesn't matter what the mistake is. It could be the most extreme, obscene thing. But there is always hope for Allah's mercy. And not hope just to be forgiven. There's hope for Jannah. You know, I mean, you've all heard the story of the individual who killed 99 people and then kills the 100th person. And after he kills the 100th person, he figures out that he shouldn't have killed 100 people. I mean, any normal person would say, no, there's no hope. How can a person kill 100 people and go to Jannah? It's not possible. But we have the example. And that person ended up going to Jannah and never even had to do anything except start heading towards the direction of good. Right? I mean, that individual, after they killed 100th person, they're told, go to City X. And when you go to City X, you'll find good people. You can do good deeds there. What are they told? You'll find good people. You can do good deeds there. So what did they do? They begin just to head towards City X. They haven't found the good people. They haven't started doing the good deeds. They just walked in the direction of City X. As they're walking in the direction of City X, they pass away. And because they were one step closer to City X than they were from their old city, the angels take that person to Jannah. I mean, just think about that. I mean, look at this. Look at the graph on this person's life. It's down, 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 not even oscillating. Baseline dead. You know, like the EKG, it just becomes flat. They're flatline Shaitan. For the vast majority of their life, killing, 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 killing. They just jump from killing to killing. They kill a pious person on top of that. Now what happens? There's, even though that EKG is totally flatlined for decades, just the mere notion that there is a Lord and that Lord can forgive me, is it possible for me to be forgiven? Just that mere notion is enough to amplify that person so much that they cross the threshold and enter into Jannah. So, I mean, who's to be praised in that paradigm? It's not the individual, it's Allah. Allah's mercy is so grand, and His ability to reward is so great, and His desire to forgive is so all-encompassing, that a simple intention, despite decades of disobedience, at the extreme that all human beings on the planet would agree, this is a criminal. This is the worst criminal. This person himself deserves to be executed and die. Serial killer. Nobody disagree. I mean, ask any person on the planet, is a serial killer a bad person? They would say this is one of the most evil people on the planet. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an opportunity even for that person to be forgiven. But what Shaitan does, Shaitan blinds blinds human beings and makes them think that my sin is so great that I can never be good. I shouldn't go to the masjid because of my sin. I shouldn't sit with the people of piety because of my sin. I shouldn't tried to approach my Lord because of my sin. But it's actually the opposite. In fact, when a person comes wounded, that's when the doctors take the most care of that individual. When a person comes wounded to their Lord, Allah takes the most care of that individual. If a person comes and submits and says, I am the worst of your creation, I have committed these mistakes, Ya Allah, I am seeking your forgiveness, that's the opportunity that the person has to completely flip their lives. So no matter what the mistake, we should always look towards the mercy of our Lord. And no matter what the opportunity, we should always maximize the opportunity to amplify our deeds. That's the opposite extreme. So Shaitan makes it look like, oh, if you do this small thing, it's a small thing. If you do this thing, it's a small thing. Right? That this is also the trick of Shaitan. He blinds us to to Allah's amplification of our deeds. So, oh, why would you do this? This is just a small thing. Wait to do something bigger. That's the deception of Shaitan. For example, you know, I've got $100 in my pocket. I want to give it in sadaqah. Okay? And what will Shaitan convince me? Why just $100? You should give $1,000. Why do you want to give only $100? You should give $1,000. Save up your money until you have $1,000. Now what happens? Expenses come, this comes, that comes, and it's hard to get to $1,000. Whereas that $100 could have been amplified to $100,000 if Allah wanted. And Shaitan knows it. So Shaitan will blind the believer to Allah's ability to amplify deeds and cause the believer to lose an opportunity and trick the believer into thinking that they can substitute for something better in the future. But that's not the believer. The believer grabs whatever opportunity comes before them because they know that there is nothing small. There is nothing small. Everything can be big. Even simply brushing teeth in the morning with the intention of a sunnah is something that can be rewarded in a great way. Because the person made the intention to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this paradigm should always be in our mind because it defines who we are. And the bias, this is what we would call it, the bias that exists in this paradigm we should never be blinded to it. Shaitan will create that circumstance where we get blinded to the mercy of Allah, and he will create that thought in our mind that will blind us to the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to amplify our deeds. Anytime there's an opportunity, we should take advantage of it. Small things like, for example, removing something in the street. Even removing something in the street with the intention of decreasing the harm on another person is a rewarded act. Literally, I'm telling you, if you're walking in the sidewalk and there's a branch on the floor, and you pick up the branch and you put it to one side, and you make the intention that this is a piece of my faith, there's a reward associated with it. Such a simple thing, just picking up a branch. But if a person makes an intention that they're serving Allah's creation, they receive a reward for it. So we never let a small, quote-unquote, we never let what appears to be small escape us. We're constantly looking for every opportunity. And in fact, that's in anything in life, by the way, that's always the sign of success. You know, the best businessmen are the people who make sure that every single transaction is good. And they cut costs, they shave every cost that they can. Even if it's a few pennies here and a few pennies there. Why? Because pennies eventually add up to dollars, and dollars eventually add up to the bottom line. So, I mean, in the business of Jannah and Jahannam, it's the same thing. We take every penny that we can get, because one penny is not one penny. It could be a mountain of gold. We never know. We never know which moment Allah's special mercy will descend upon us. We never know which moment Allah will accept what we've done. We never know which penny is the one that will be pleasing towards our Lord. We don't know. And Shaitan, he wants to decrease the opportunities, because by decreasing the opportunities, you decrease the probability. For example, if you give 100 pennies and one is the one that's meant to be accepted, then eventually you'll hit that 100th. But if you only give one in your life and only one out of 100 is accepted, you don't know if it'll be accepted or not. You don't know which one will have the most value. I mean, obviously, inshallah, all will be accepted, but you don't know which one will be that special one. So we take advantage of every single opportunity that Allah creates, that Allah provides. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be among those who oscillate towards good. We ask that Allah amplify our deeds and make us among those who are able to achieve the highest level in Jannah. And we ask that Allah protect us from evil and that He mute any evil that we ever perform and that He forgive us for our mistakes and erase them from our book of deeds. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.